free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box here at WCBH Studios in fine Chatsworth, California, courtesy of Rumblespoon Productions. I'm Donald. I'm here also with Shant, who's in the background taking books out of bags and boards for our special guest to sign, none other than Mark Wade, everybody.
Oh, please, take your seat. Don't get up, please.
Well, Shant's already standing.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Thank you for being on. This is amazing. Little me when I was younger, not that little. I don't want to make you feel.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Back when you were young, Mark.
But younger me would be so proud right now. So thank you for this. I appreciate that very much. And I'm probably going to have Shant take some pictures too of us. We'll walk around and take photos as we're recording.
All right. I have to pretend to look you. I have to look you in the eye now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What people at home don't realize is that I'm busy signing a million comics while I'm doing this. So this is the only time I'm actually going to look you in the eye is for the photo op. All right. Ready?
Here, all right. We're ready.
Take some photos.
Ready. There we go. All right. Are you taking photos? Good? Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Too many photos.
Too many photos. All right. Okay. We're good.
All right.
Keep going. Thank you, sir. He's signing a ton of comics here at the shop for people that want to come in and purchase them. It's going to be amazing. We just got done with a live show, about 2 hours of you selling some of your own personal comics, autographing them for people, telling stories. And I thought, well, let's bring you over here and let's ask you a few questions. What is the actual favorite comic book, like your favorite comic that you ever wrote?
That I ever wrote?
Yeah.
The answer is different on different days.
Okay.
But I generally default to Superman Birthright. Birthright because that is my love letter to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, my chance to say everything I really wanted to say about Superman in 12 issues. But I have a couple of other favorites, too. There's a couple of issues of Fantastic Four that I'm pretty proud of. And there's one that no one seems to have ever realized is out there because DC's never reprinted it, is that in 2000, I headed up a fifth week event called The Silver Age. I wrote the bookend issues. One was a giant size issue up front and the back one was an 80-page giant with Eduardo Barreto. Yes, Eduardo Barreto did the first and Terry Dodson did the lead on the other. And in the middle were eight or nine comics written by some of the best people in comics and drawn by some of the best people in comics at the time. Mark Millar is doing that stuff. Kurt Busiek is doing that stuff. Brent Anderson is doing that stuff. Tom Pyre is doing this stuff. Ramona Fraiden did some pet covers. Nick Tardy did some covers. It's a murderer's row of creators for that fifth week event called Silver Age. And for some reason, no matter how many times I beg them, DC forgets to reprint it. And I think people should see that stuff, not just because I liked it, but it was one of my favorite things I ever wrote, but because the talent that is attached to all that stuff was amazing. So,
yeah.
By the way, as we're talking, both of them are busy scrambling, unbagging books for me to sign. This is great.
I was telling people, I said, he signs these fast. I said,
it's a short name, man.
We're going to be behind, which is what's happening.
Like, extend your name, give you like an English, you know, Mark Bartholomew III.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Let's make it all fancy.
It's still
English.
A signature. At the end of the day, after I do a few hundred, it looks like a seismograph. But it is recognizable as a signature.
It's recognizable. And that's something special, to be honest, because not a lot of people have very recognizable signatures, mine included. It's pretty terrible. But, you know, we all do our best, I guess, or at least try.
So I guess you'll never be in comics.
No, probably not. No. Although I did do 4 seasons of a web series. I don't know if you heard about this, but I did 4 seasons of the web series called Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns.
I didn't know this. Is this true?
Yeah. They killed Ted Kord off, of course, as we all know. And Max Lord shot him in the head, and I said, this shall not be. So I created a live-action web series where Ted came back.
Yeah?
From being dead. He crawled out of a cemetery, and he was trying to figure out why he was back. Why he was alive. There's this mystery of why and how. And it's 4 seasons. And
wow.
I had a lot of fun with it. I hired a cartoon panelist to do all the comic book related panels that we would put in there when we didn't have the budget for certain scenes.
Right.
You know, we would have him draw that and we would enter, you know, put those in and make him move around and stuff. So we had a lot of fun with that.
That's pretty cool. I'll get DC's lawyers in touch. Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Okay. So as far as your favorites and stuff, I already know the answer.
I think most of anybody who knows my name at all, I think knows the answer to your next question, but please ask it.
Yeah. Who's your favorite comic book character?
Superman.
There we go.
Long, long shot. Yeah. I fell in love with Superman at a very important time in my life. I was a teenager and not to be too dark about it, but I was living in kind of a dark point in my life. I was in a divided home, like a lot of people, you know, shuttling back and forth between two parents who were doing their best but didn't really know how to connect with me. And I didn't have a lot of friends at school, and I was a pretty lonely kid. And I had reached a point in my life where I honestly believed with all my heart that no one cared if I even lived or died. And I went to see Christopher Reeve in Superman the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat through that movie twice in a row. And I came out of that movie, went in with no direction, came out of that movie knowing that whatever I was going to do with the rest of my life, it was going to have something to do with Superman.
Yeah.
And it took a while to figure out why that was. I just signed a book that I didn't write. Whoops. It took me a while to figure out what it was, but I realized looking back, it's because Superman cares about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care what your situation is. He doesn't care where you're from. He doesn't care anything other than, can he help? And yes, I knew he was a fictional character. I'm not insane,
mm-hmm.
but it still connected with me at a very important part of my time, a very important part of my life, rather, a very important time of my life. And so that was it. We were bonded at the hip forever at that point. I was Superman ride or die for the rest of my life, and still am.
Which is amazing. I mean, as most people that know me know, I'm a huge Superman fan. He's probably, Ted Kord would probably be my first favorite superhero, followed by Superman, who's right up there. Sometimes one will jockey for the position of favorite, and the other will fall into second place, and then it'll change as, you know, the seasons do.
Sure, fair enough.
But yeah, I totally get that. Totally understand. As far as like projects though, do you still have like a dream project that you would still like to do?
I pretty much latched onto the two of them in the last couple of years. I mean, Batman Superman World's Finest was a dream project by a long shot. Being able to write stories of Superman and Batman in their classic forms without having to really be terribly concerned with current continuity. And that was the mandate from editorial. They said, look, we want a Superman and Batman book that isn't necessarily set in continuity. That way you don't have to worry about the fact that Superman's on war world for a year and Batman has lost his fortune or this or that. You just write classic Superman and Batman stories. So that's been a blast, and working with Dan Moore has been just the best. So I thought that was the dream project. And then they approached me with what I realized was actually the dream project. And that was doing The Adventures of Clark Kent when he was a kid. And we will be launching an Action Comics coming this summer, starting with issue 1087 of Action Comics. We'll start with me and Skylar Patridge doing Superboy, doing the adventures of Superman when he was a boy in Smallville, from the very beginning of his career as a superhero and learning along the way.
That's great.
How to become the world's greatest hero and all the lessons that Clark had to learn in order to do what he does. And be a real teenager, not a perfect teenager, a good kid, but not a perfect teenager. And that's been a blast. That's been the dream gig.
Let me ask you, was there a thought in your mind about what if you wrote yourself into it and him as the teenager, like somehow helped you?
I never thought about that. But here's the thing. If I wrote something like that, it would only be for myself.
Okay.
I can't expect the audience to be invested in me as a character in a comic book.
Yeah.
It seems a little egotistical. So,
I just based on what you were talking about earlier, it would make sense in my head. But that's only because I know that conversation now.
But being able to write the story. That I told you about why I love Superman, but with a different character as a proxy to me, that's actually a really good idea. I guess I'll send you a royalty check when I
do. Oh, there we go. Yeah. One, so. Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, no, sit down, please. Sit down. okay, so piggybacking off all these other questions, we've got Irredeemable, we've got Kingdom Come, we've got Absolute Power. My main question is, who hurt you?
You know, look, the big projects are fun. I mean, they're a lot of work. There are a lot of jockeying around of a million characters, but that's why God made the trading cards, which is what I use to get me through the crossovers, is I have trading cards out there and for every single character right in front of me on the desk.
Nice.
So that I can move them around like chess pieces and use them as visual aids to remind myself, oh, wait, Aquaman hasn't had anything to do for two pages. Or, oh, crap, I got to put Mary Marvel into the story somewhere.
Ah, that's cool.
And so that helps me. But I enjoy doing that big form storytelling. And the next one that's coming out is, it's turning out to be a really big story. It's called We Are Yesterday. And it's crossing over between World's Finest Comics and Justice League Unlimited for 2 months, including a World's Finest Annual and a bonus issue of Justice League. So 6 issues altogether, the Justice League versus the Legion of Doom across time and space, and makes it, that's why you're crossing over from World's Finest, which is set in the past, to Justice League Unlimited, which is set in the present. And it's a blast.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah. I'm very lucky to be able to work with the characters that I love.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't say I'm never jealous or not jealous about it because, any comic book fan has always wished that they could at some point create a certain character that they thought about or write something and people would read it and enjoy it and stuff. So it's a real Mary Marvel. It's a marvel of a thing for that to happen and for you to be able to do this for a living.
Look, to be able to do for a living what you would have done for free as a kid is just the greatest blessing in the world. And the only downside to it is when you go to a cocktail party and somebody asks you what you do for a living and you tell them and they get all excited for you, as they should, and because you're having a great time, you're all excited about telling them about your job. And then you ask them what they do for a living and they sell aluminum siding. And you have to pretend to be just as excited about their job as they were about yours. That's the only that's the only drawback.
It's only fair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So aluminum is, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I make honey-baked hams.
Oh. Yeah. Really? Yeah. That sounds fascinating. Tell me about this.
Yeah. Fun times.
What's the best part of your job?
With the glaze.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Yeah, the glaze, of course. Okay, so we're in here at WCBH Studios in Chatsworth, California. Chatsworth is a real cowboy town. I mean, you'll see people riding horseback, things like that. You'll see people with cowboy hats and stuff. It's still very much a cowboy town. So what is or who is your favorite, like, Western comic book character? And then I think I already know the answer, your favorite Western film.
Right. Well, Western film is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
By far. A great, great movie, one of the best written movies of all time, maybe a flawless movie, with the exception of the bicycle scene that you love, and I think drags the movie to a screeching halt.
Yeah.
But, and then in terms of comics characters, by far, the Lone Ranger. It was,
okay.
There are only two characters and only two IPs that I have not had a chance to take a swing at yet that I would love to, and Doc Savage is one, and the Lone Ranger is the other. And if I can do those, then I think I've hit all the bases that I care to hit.
Because
I appreciate the Turtles. I love the fact that Jason Aaron's doing a kick-ass job, but that's a little past my time. Like, I don't have the same emotional investment because I was an adult by the time the Turtles came along.
Right.
Same with, like, you know, the Transformer stuff, the G.I. Joe stuff. I was a little too old to appreciate that stuff as toys, so I don't have that same emotional attachment. But Lone Ranger and Doc Savage, if you can line that up for me, then
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at very least, I can give you some sheets of paper and you can write out. And then
write the words, Doc Savage.
I'll do the stick figures.
Not quite the same.
Do the art. Nobody wants me to ever do the art. Trust me, it's awful. That's going to pretty much...
Are we done with your questions?
I think so. I mean, I have a few others, but I just don't want to...
I can go another 5 minutes.
You can go another 5 minutes? Okay. All right. What character do you wish that you had created?
Yeesh.
Like if you, you were, co-creator on Impulse?
Impulse, yeah.
Yeah, so Bart, great character.
Thank you.
A lot of people love him, and that was around the time where I was getting in to the Flash. I very much enjoyed. I always thought that you wrote the best when it came to the Flash and his family dynamic.
Thank you. Yes, which is ironic.
Super important for me.
It's ironic because I don't have a family really. I left home when I was like 15, mm-hmm. and my family is great, but I'm not close with them. And so I wonder sometimes if I write Fantastic Four and the Flash family and stuff, if I write them that well, because there's a part of me that's like knows they're missing that in their real life.
Right.
And maybe that's why I write those characters that way.
That's possible. Yeah. Well, you write them so well, but you did a great job.
Thank
you. I always go back to that when I'm talking to people about the Flash. I was like, I really enjoyed Mark Waid's run because of that family dynamic that you created with all of them. I mean, you know, Jesse Quick, Max Mercury, yeah. all those were in there. And they were part of a team, and Team Flash.
And they all have a voice. They all have a voice. They all have a different motivation. They all have a different personality, which is really important. When you're putting the more characters you put into a book, you still have to work hard to make sure, even if it's only one line of dialogue, that you can give them, that it's the right line of dialogue to make people like them. There's mm-hmm. there's a character in Justice League Unlimited 5, which comes out in like 3 weeks. Is a character named Thunder Lord. He's a global guardian. No one's ever heard of this character.
Thunder Lord.
He's Thunder Lord.
Love it.
He screams really loud. And I wrote him, and he has like two lines of dialogue in that entire story. Mm-hmm. And my editor wrote me and said, I never knew about this character before, and I love him. Can we use him again someplace?
Nice. Like,
all right. I nailed it then. Okay.
Awesome.
From his two lines of dialogue.
Oh, man. That's the best.
Yeah.
When I did the Blue Beetle web series, I not only did I co-create some new characters, because Ted Kord's world, his superhero world, not the best villains.
No.
So in the first season, I thought, well, let me borrow some.
Yeah.
You know, so I borrowed some Batman villains, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
So you had the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
You had the Joker. You know, a few of those guys in there to kind of mix it up a bit. And then as I kept going along, I was like, there's characters I want to see that I love personally, like the Spectre.
Yeah.
So I got a like 7-foot Australian guy. Mm-hmm. That with abs like a god, to come in, and we painted him basically, and put on the green tight thing and the cape, and had him come in and filmed him as the Spectre.
I got to see this. And he's gonna send me links on the when
I absolutely can. He's fantastic.
Wow.
And then I had Eclipso.
Oh, the great another good one.
I brought in Eclipso, but not in a way like traditional Eclipso. I brought in Eclipso as already having possessed someone.
Okay.
So that way, you know, I showed little snippets and bits of him in animated in the cartoon world, but then brought him in as possessed Ted Kord, as possessed Dan Garrett.
Yeah.
You know, those types of characters. So I was able to not only create new characters, but put a lot of the characters I loved into the story. And I think that's one of the most fantastic things about writing comic books. Is that you can go to that well oftentimes and say, hey, I want to find an obscure character or just somebody I love and write the hell out of them.
Exactly.
And hope that other people enjoy it as much as I do.
But enough about you.
Which sounds like it. Yeah.
But enough about you.
Right.
No. No, you're absolutely right. That's part of the joy of Justice League Unlimited is I have this secret list of D-listers like Thunderlord that no one's ever heard of. And
right.
I'm like, I have a take on this character, and I bet I can make you like them and two lines of dialogue.
You put Airwave in there.
I love Airwave. And now everybody loves Airwave, which is awesome. By the way, just stepping back for a second, I know so much about DC history. Mm-hmm. I'm their resident expert. And if you waterboarded me, I couldn't name three Blue Beetle villains.
Right? It's not easy.
No.
Isn't from the Charlton era?
You got the Mad Men?
Yep. That's the one everybody knows.
Punch and Judy? From the Charlton era?
Well, technically, but I think they were
Captain Atom.
Captain films. Atom,
Nice try.
Which is within that...
Weird power level there,
Diana. Yeah.
I mean, you could technically say, I guess, the Question in a way, but not really, you know?
Nightshade? Like,
yeah. Nightshade, I guess you could say, too. Carpax?
Carapax.
Yeah, that's the other one that everybody knows or knows now.
Knows now
because of
that's
the movie.
That's the other one that five people know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but there wasn't many.
Ask me one more question. Ask me one more free for all.
One more question. Sean, do you want to ask the question?
I had actually a follow up about your mention about DC. Did you work on the Who's Who?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, dude. I
were you the one implemented or you just were involved?
I was involved. By the time I got to DC, they were running they'd done the first series and they were doing appendixes. They were doing like 4-issue mini series after, and so I was heading those up as the editor and also as ghostwriter a lot of times. And then once they did the loose leaf stuff, I did a ton of those and I wrote I lived and breathed that stuff. I love doing that stuff. I also DC did a bunch of cosmic cards, trading cards during that time. With facts and figures, facts and fun stuff about the characters in the back and origin recaps and stuff. There's 180 cards. I wrote all of those cards in 2 days.
Wow.
That was the deadline. And so it was like, I was a maniac. I'm like, don't look back, just keep typing. Because I was the only person in the world who could tell you what Heat Wave's first appearance was off the top of my head. So I was the right guy for the job.
So he was the original DC key collector.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
So when you worked on when you're writing all that stuff, like how much of that was research? Like you had to go into the archives, pull all that, read this, or how much was it just off the top of your head?
Most of it's off the top of my head. And then it would a matter of then just going back and just double checking and making sure I crossed the T's and dotted the I's and got everything right. It's harder now.
Yeah.
I'm working on some research stuff now, and now there's 40 years more of DC history and 40 years more worth of DC retcons that have to be taken into account. So I, with my vaunted brain, cannot tell you what Hawkman's history is.
It took a while for them to just chuck it and figure out something.
That's now one of those. No, they still haven't. One of those classic math formulas that, you know, equations that no mathematician has ever been able to solve for 50 years or whatever. Like, you know, Fermi's paradox or something. That's what Hawkman is. No one can figure out Hawkman. I will do this if it kills me.
So if you were offered the chance, if you had a Hawkman story, you offered the chance, would you just chuck everything and make your own history? Or would you actually try to amalgamate?
I'd amalgamate everything. I can't. I don't have it in me to get rid of the history. I just don't. That's the fun of it.
But you saw what he did with, Legionnaires?
That was different. That was no one, we couldn't get people to be interested in the Legion to save our lives. Because once you took Superboy and Supergirl out of the Legion, you crippled that franchise. You just completely knocked the pins out from under that franchise. And it was never the same. We did our best with that, with what people call the Archie Legion.
Well, you got a trading card in the first issue.
That's true. It's polypack, like they did in the day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I remember that very well. I was super excited to grab that. I thought, it's polypacked.
Here's a Hawkman story. So there was a moment, would have been 1997 probably. And Jim Lee and I were sitting in editor Dan Rasper's office.
This is after the Wildstorm sale?
In the middle of it, maybe. I think, I mean, so Jim is there as an artist. He's not on staff at this point. He's there as an artist, and I'm sitting there. We're just shooting the breeze.
Yeah, there you go.
And we started talking about, wouldn't it be cool to take a DC character and put them in the Wildstorm universe for a year, and conversely, take a Wildstorm character and put them in the DC universe for a year? And we started to get really animated about this. And as we're talking about this, Jim has actually drawn a Hawkman drawing just idly while we're talking about this. And so it was going to be Hawkman. And Jim said, I'll draw it if you'll write it. Like, that will be awesome. And then lawyers got in the way. Stupid lawyers. But there's a world out there in which Jim and I did a Hawkman series back in the day.
We got to find a way to get these two, Jim Lee and Mark Waid, together and just reminisce.
And then just call Jim up.
Yeah.
They did that, though, with Captain Atom, right? Yeah. Like Wildstorm, they ended up doing like a 12
And vice versa with issue series. Grifter now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody still loves Grifter. Grifter's a popular character. He's like a Gambit, basically. Yeah. He's the DC now. DC's Gambit, I guess. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, which is cool.
So when you do research now, you talk about, you know, you have to do, is it, like you get everything, or you just take things? I'm assuming the editorial gives it to you or something?
Yeah, I mean, they'll provide.
They have like a Bible? They still have like a Bible?
No, actually, that they don't, which is actually, you know, one of my, another dream project. Would it be cool if I could do with them what I did with History of the Marvel Universe, right? And that would be a pretty sweet gig, but that would involve diving like a porpoise, you know, like Uncle Scrooge through his money bin through 85 years of DC comic books, and that's, you know, that's my happy place. So maybe we can make something like that happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, that'd be great. It'd be well, I know they got a little nostalgic with putting out the style guide that
Jose Garcia Lopez.
Yeah,
really,
that sold
good.
Out. That sold out immediately. Like, who would have thought? You know.
I'm one of the lucky ones who had one of the original style guides because I think it fell off the truck when I left staff. but seeing it, I still got it in hardcover, still a beautiful looking book. Jose Garcia Lopez, for those who don't know, is the greatest artist of comics that every other artist knows and no fan knows.
He is the guy that, exactly. More people know seeing his art than anybody else in comics.
Because he's done all that merchandising art he did for the 80s and 90s and aughts, and like, every other Superman t-shirt or every other Batman
coloring book or
whatever, Jose, you know, did that.
Even the house ads.
Yep, exactly. He's still an amazing artist. It's just, it's a crime. All comic book artists agree it is a crime because he was not terribly interested in writing, in drawing superhero comics. So every comic book artist knows it's a crime that no one in fandom seems to know who he is, and he is the unsung hero. Like, that's the one artist that every single other comic book artist their ears will perk up when they hear his name, and they're like, oh my, they'll fall to their knees, you know, in worship.
Yeah, the moment I realized, when I got into, started collecting comics, I started getting more into like the history and collecting and all that, and I saw who he was, saw his art, and I started recognizing the mugs,
the superpowers, packaging and all that stuff.
We live out here in LA, in Valencia, they have the Six Flags.
Yeah.
The Superman ride. That's him doing the artwork on that.
Yeah.
The decals.
Which I went in on that ride blind. I didn't know that it did what it did. Mm. And it scared it scared me so bad. Like, we were having a conversation, it was me and my friend, and we were just talking, then suddenly it was like, you know, and then that ended the conversation real quick. That was it.
Well, I mean, that's actually a good point. Like, do you like the Superman? Have you been on it?
I've not been on it.
Do you like roller coasters?
I love roller coasters. What I think I have learned last summer, to my shame and great disappointment, is that I'm not sure I can do roller coasters anymore. I thought I could, and then I got on one, and I hadn't been on one in a long time, and it was not a pleasant experience. And that kills me. It makes me feel like I'm 112 years old, right? Yeah. Like, I never wanted to lose my love for roller coasters. So, give me enough Dramamine, maybe.
One's more like the demon drop.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, this one's just like only in reverse.
Right.
Like, I sometimes they change it, and it'll be Lex Luthor's ride, and it'll go the opposite way. But anyway, thank you, Mark, so
my
much
pleasure.
for
yes,
being
thank you for
on
being here.
And for answering every single question we threw at you, and for being so polite and nice to us. We appreciate that very much. And we appreciate you coming into the shop here at WCBH Studios. We Can Be Heroes in Chatsworth, California.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
I encourage people to come to the store. It's a good store.
I appreciate that. All right, everybody. Thank you. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.